This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Travel. I am Chris Christensen. Gary and Jen are not with me because we're not at home. We're sitting on a boat. We're sitting on a boat in the middle of the Douro River as part of Viking River Cruises Viking social trip. So I've invited some of the people who are with me to join me and want to introduce you. I wanted to introduce them to you. Sorry, you to them doesn't work out as well. So I have back on the show Mary Jo Manzanares. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Who we usually are talking to about T-Bex, and even though there's two T-Bexes in the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about other stuff. So, and then also introduce yourself, Mary, to our audience.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mary Quincy. I'm an Instagrammer and photographer living in Paris.
So, and we can start with you, Mary, because we're going to pick on you because you are 24.
Yeah, almost.
Almost 24 years old. And got invited by Viking to come on a cruise. You are by far the youngest person on the boat.
Probably, yeah. And it's my second cruise.
That's your second cruise.
Funniest thing. And I was hired to be the photographer on board on the ship.
How does that happen?
They noticed me through my Instagram account.
Which is?
At @Mary_Quincy.
And we'll put links to this in the show notes.
And they sent me an email saying, like, do you want to go on a cruise? And I was like, of course I want to.
Did you think the email was legitimate when you first
started? I thought it was a spam before, so I was like, okay, I'm going to try. I'm just going to, like, answer just in case it's not a joke. And I got a reply saying, like, well, we would like to have you on the ship for no reason in particular, but it would be great if you would post some pictures once in a while. So I went there. It was the Grand European Tour from Budapest to Amsterdam. And
and that cruise you were on, like us,
yes,
as a social media,
exactly,
not
I
a blogger per se.
Actually.
Oh, the only one. Okay.
Yeah.
But this cruise is a little different.
Yes, because I'm in a job now. I'm working at the moment. So I'm trying to take as many pictures.
So they liked your pictures, clearly.
They obviously like my pictures. And they asked me to take pictures not only of the landscapes and cityscapes, what I do usually, but also on the ship of people, of guests, of situations, and everything that it can be good for their website and for their social media parts, yeah.
And there's at least some of the members of the who are on the ship with us, some of the people who have purchased this cruise, who I believe want to adopt you. So that's gone fairly well.
Yes, yes. I make friends very easily, apparently. Like the barman, for example.
Well, Tom is, or you're talking about Tom? Yeah, he's friends with everybody. So that really
wonderful.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. I don't take it. I'm like everybody.
So do you know, and before we get to Mary Jo, do you know what it was about your pictures that attracted them? Did they tell you any more about just, like what you're doing?
Well, I think it was because my pictures are mostly touristic. I want people to want to visit the places I show them.
And you have an unfair advantage that you live in Paris.
Yes, I do live in the most beautiful city in the world for many people. So obviously people were very happy every day to look at my pictures. So they are even happier now that I'm in Portugal on this ship. And it's also a job of photographer, but also social media person, because I'm trying my best to post as many pictures using hashtags and, like, pushing people to come
right,
here.
Sure.
And not because they force me to do, not that at
right.
all. It's just because I want to, because it's a great company and I want everybody to know about it.
Although the difference I've noticed here on this cruise is now that you're doing it as a job, there are times that you were taking pictures even though you don't feel like taking pictures.
Because I take pictures of stuff that I am not used to take pictures of,
right.
But it's also a challenge for me.
Right.
I want to show that I can do more than just landscapes and cityscapes, and I want to show people that I can take portraits or people in certain situations, and it's hard sometimes, especially for the food pictures. I'm not good with it now.
Well,
so
you're 24. You're still growing as a photographer.
Yeah,
let's say.
That's for sure. I'm trying. But
and not that long ago, photography was not at all your job. You have been doing...
Yeah, last week I was still a barista.
Still a barista, and you've been teaching English in,
in
London.
No, it was teaching French in London.
Sorry, teaching French.
Yeah, teaching French in a high school in London.
Which is why you have an English-French accent to my ear.
But trying my best not to have a French accent, yeah. And I was also a customer care manager in a big company in Paris, and I've done a lot of things before I came on this boat. Yeah.
Well, and that leads me to Mary Jo, because we've talked to Mary Jo at TBEX 3-4 times at least. So people on this show know that you are the conference manager for the largest travel blogging conference, the Travel Blog Exchange Conference, TBEX. And there are, in fact, two TBEXs coming up. There's the TBEX Asia for the first time, actually three. TBEX Asia coming up in Bangkok, TBEX North America coming up in Fort Lauderdale, and then TBEX at Sea also for the first time. But that is not what got you invited on here, in fact.
No, it's not. I'm actually a travel blogger, which I think people tend to forget. I've been doing that for 10 years. I did a previous editorial cruise with Vikings.
You just said you were a travel blogger and you didn't pitch your blog.
I didn't, yeah, see.
That is really,
I'm
that's
so
a really
used
amateur
to the
move
pitching
there.
Yes, traveling with MJ at travelingwithmj.com. Pretty easy to remember. And I did a social, I did an editorial cruise with Viking earlier this year on the Rhine. And they asked me to come back for this social campaign, and it's been different and a whole lot of fun.
And Tony, your husband is with you
with
as
me.
Well. It didn't hurt that this is a wine region, I think, in terms of getting you and or he on this cruise.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It
did
was
you get enough wine
list.
On this trip?
Oh, it's like, and if I didn't, it's my own fault.
And then that's actually not your only other job, too.
No, I actually work as a flight attendant for an airline.
That
so
shall not be named.
That shall not be named. So I balance a lot of things, as most entrepreneurs do these days.
And is that the way it's going to be 5 years from now if we talk to you again? I said, Mary, for instance, she's moving. She's moving into photography, she hopes.
Yeah.
A little less barista, a little more photography. But you're kind of, this is a balance I'm getting the impression that you like.
It's a balance that works for now. I never say forever, and I really don't actually ever say 4-5 years. But right now, it kind of gives me the best of both worlds. And my day job certainly gives me an opportunity to see the world, and while I might be working, gets me to some places that are pretty interesting, and it just sort of feeds the other choices. So I see it continuing for a while.
Well, a funny thing happened on the way to this episode. We've just actually lost a day. We finished recording the episode that you heard the start of already, and we had a problem with the recording. For some reason, the end of the recording did not capture, so we're doing it again. So we're actually on the last day of our cruise, but I had just been starting to introduce Howard when the recording cut out. So, Howard, introduce yourself. Who are you, and what is your blog?
I am Howard Blunt, and I am from backroadplanet.com, and we like to find things that are off the beaten path, whether they be on a road or on a river or a rail, and so that's what we're doing on this trip is finding some things that we've never seen before.
Now, yesterday, when we were doing this, we were talking to Mary, and we were talking to Mary Jo, both of whom are not here yet, or not here, or not coming this time, about what they were doing to make a living. You're in a little different situation, especially than most travel bloggers.
Yes.
You were not, for instance, 22.
No.
And fresh out of college.
In fact, I had a birthday on this cruise.
Which was not your 23rd birthday.
Yeah, I'm the only person who aged a year on this cruise. But, yeah, I just retired from 35 years of teaching on June 5th, and it feels really good because I like having control of my schedule, and, of course, I have a pension to fall back on, you know, so I don't have to make a complete living from blogging, but...
Well, and you were saying that it wasn't the kids that made you retire, too.
No, no. No, I love the kids, yeah, and I won't go off on a tangent, although I could, but yeah, it was the system that made me know it was time to retire. And
so my understanding is roughly 2 years ago,
you started planning this transition?
I did. I knew that it was getting to the point that I was going to have to retire, because I had read a couple articles about stress, and I remember seeing a human body with all of the symptoms of stress, and I had virtually every symptom. And so I knew if I stayed in the system that it was going to kill me one way or the other. So I thought about the things that I love to do, and I love to travel. And I've been traveling internationally since I was in sixth grade. My parents were missionaries. And I love to write. I published some educational books back in the 90s. And so the two together, writing and traveling, you know, came together in travel blogging. And so I started Backroad Planet with my travel partner, Jerry Woods. And we had done a lot of road trips, and I decided to start writing about them. And one thing led to another, and so that's what I'm doing.
And I want to introduce our other guest. Introduce yourself to the This Week in Travel audience.
Well, hello. My name is Michelle Winner, and my blog is culinarytraveler.com. I obviously specialize in travel, wine, and food.
Getting a little, I don't know if you could hear the background noise of, we're passing another ship here.
Wow.
But we've got a beautiful sunny day here on the Douro River in the Douro Valley in Portugal, with the window open as we cruise along to the town of Porto. So, Michelle, how did you get into blogging? I don't think I've actually heard your story.
No. Well, actually, I was a newspaper person.
So you came through the way that you're supposed to come through.
I did.
You have training in journalism and all those sorts of things.
No, not really. I have a habit of reinventing myself, and I like to travel a lot. So I'm a trained commercial hospitality designer, which means I do hotels.
And you design hotel interiors.
Yes, and restaurants. And so that was based in Hawaii. And when I moved to Oregon, I moved out in the country on 20 acres, and there was nothing to design. So I said, what can I do, and how can I meet people? So I wandered down to the little newspaper in the little town of about 4,000 people. And they said, oh, sure, why don't you do our classifieds? It's 5 cents a word. We hope you're good at it. And so that happened, and then an opportunity for a story because we were missing something. And these are the days when you typed it on a computer, cut it out, and dipped it in
literally cut and paste.
Wax.
Yes.
I remember.
And from there, it just rolled on.
I only know that because one of my aunts married a newspaperman. So actually, I have three cousins who run newspapers in the Midwest, run dailies and weeklies in the Midwest. So I have that part of the family that has shown me hot type and has shown me cut and paste and wax boards and such. But yeah, that is not common these days.
No, and that was my start, and I'm grateful for it.
Okay. So now, we talked to Mary Jo and Mary yesterday. Mary, who's just making her transition, or trying to make her transition. She mm-hmm. doesn't actually know for sure what she is doing mm-hmm. when she gets home from the script. She quit her job and trying to make it as a photographer. Mary Jo, who's got this balance of, you know, three different jobs. I'm at three or four, depending on the day.
Yes.
Howard has this, you know, situation of retiring and now moving on to the travel blogging. You're balancing travel and food blogging with other things, or are you doing it full-time?
Pretty much full-time now. I also have volunteered for an organization called the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association.
Sure.
So I do a lot of volunteer, but that's strictly volunteer. And I also have a small business up at Mount Hood, where we live, and it's a wedding officiant business, and we write the ceremony. So there, again, we're using our writing.
Okay. Got it. So you say you moved to Oregon, and that's mm-hmm. sort of what got you into travel writing. And how did you get on this cruise? I mean, what was the process? What went from there to here? I wasn't chasing you. Should be on this cruise. I know Howard's story. We're going to get into that in a bit.
Yeah.
In terms of how he got discovered by Viking, for
mm-hmm.
instance.
Right.
I guess that's the question I'm asking.
The question. It was a mystery.
It did come out badly.
I had worked with a PR company before several times.
With Edelman?
Yes.
Okay, that does Vikings.
Yes. And I'm at the point in my career where I'm very selective on where I'm going and mm-hmm. what I'm even putting my time towards.
What was the first interaction you had with him?
It was Hilton.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, and then another Hilton project came up.
And what kind of project?
Oh, it was...
Usually it's a small project, the first one.
Actually, no, that's where I met Ramsey. We went to San Francisco to look at what they're doing for the Chinese. I think it's called Huanyang. And it's the Chinese inbound to America.
Yeah.
And we wanted to experience what they do for them. It's a pretty neat project that they do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then we're writing blog posts about that experience in terms of what Hilton was doing.
Absolutely. Okay. But I took it further. They had the Chinese breakfast, which is a huge part of it. And... of course, I, being a food lover, got the recipe to make these gorgeous little dumplings. So I'm still in my food niche.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I understand why they would want somebody with food. I mean, this is a food cruise.
Yeah, I've gained about 6 pounds.
Yeah. Food and wine. Actually,
food
wine.
And wine's, what
the,
I get.
Wine's the one
definitely
thing.
Definitely wine.
That they actually didn't bring a wine blogger, but they certainly could in the Douro.
I'm a wine writer.
Wine writer. Okay.
Yes.
And then, Howard, you had a more interesting story in terms of how they discovered your writing, because you're newer in the blogging.
Yes.
Michelle, you've been doing how long?
Oh, 10 years at least.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this was July of 2014. Jerry and I had booked a trip.
Jerry Woods.
He's my travel partner. We do the website together.
Yeah.
And we had...
You say travel partner, but he's not here, so your business partner is what
right.
I would think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes you travel actually...
Soon
travel
to be business partner.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. All right.
When the bucks start rolling in.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But we had booked a cruise with Viking, the Rhine Getaway, and we went to Amsterdam a day early, and we boarded our ship, and the first stop was Kinderdijk, the windmills. And while we were touring on the very first day, I started seeing black spots in my right eye, and then a gray veil started, you know, rising from the bottom. And I knew something was bad wrong, but Viking took good care of me, and the concierge made appointments for me in Cologne the next day. And they sent the housekeeper along to translate for us. And we found out that my retina had detached and torn, and I had to be evacuated the next day back to the States for surgery. So fast forward 6 months, I was having another surgery, because when you have the retina surgery, then you have to have a cataract surgery, because the gas bubble in your eye causes the cataract. So it's one of those vicious cycles. But I get an email.
And before we get to the email, by the way, that was just, you know, Howard advising you to get travel insurance.
Oh, yeah. Well, they evacuated us business class, and I know they spent over $10,000 on our tickets alone. So that was worth the insurance policy. But I got an email out of the blue, and it was from PR at Edelman. And they said they wanted to invite us on a cruise, knowing nothing about what had happened to us on the paid cruise. And
how had they heard about you?
Well, I had entered a contest on Johnny Jet.
Which is a little ironic, because Johnny is on
this cruise. Yes, he's on this cruise.
May stop by later.
Yes. And it was with another cruise line. I did not win the contest. I had debated whether to take the post down, and I thought, no, you win some, you lose some. It's all part of the journey, so I left it up. Well, that's how PR from Edelman found me. And so we went on our first sponsored cruise.
I love Michelle. I wish this was video. I love Michelle's reaction to your story.
Yeah, you can interject, Michelle. So we did another trip with them earlier. And then the story gets a little more twisted, because a few days ago I got an email that said that I had won, I don't know.
Flights to Iceland. On another Johnny Jet contest.
Also a Johnny Jet contest. I had forgotten that I had entered it, and they said the reason I won was because the person who won could not go. And so I get here and I'm telling the story, and it turns out the person who won is Chris.
I turned down a trip to Iceland. for next year because it just didn't fit in. Oh, I was there last year and I wanted to bring my wife and it just didn't fit into her travel schedule. And so since we weren't going to use them, I told Johnny that he should give them to somebody else. And little did I know that I would run into that person and Johnny on the same.
It's crazy and twisted.
And wonderful.
And it is extremely wonderful. And but I had said earlier, whether I lose with Johnny Jett or win with Johnny Jett, I win. So
wow, great.
That's how all that's happened. And so I've had 3 surgeries in 13 months and I've got 1 more in November. So
did you get your travel insurance?
Travel insurance we're still working on the claim.
Okay.
But I will be writing my whole story, and the insurance company knows it. So,
well, and it's probably worthwhile saying what you learned in the process was once they get you home, once they've repatriated you,
right?
That the travel insurance is really covering the repatriation and the foreign medical costs,
right?
And once you got home, they said thanks, we're done.
Well,
that's at least part of the story.
I had not read the fine print. Of course, I never do, and. And they said, well, once you land back in the United States, then, we're done. And I said, but I have a week and a half left on my policy. And they said, no, that's in the fine print. And I said, so you're saying I should have stayed in Germany and had the surgery with the gas bubble, which would have been weeks because, for the gas bubble to dissipate, you can't fly.
Yeah,
and so they would have ended up paying a whole lot more. And also, I have my own health insurance.
Right.
So all they had to cover was just copays, et cetera. But they don't even want to do that. So, but I will write the whole story.
That's great advice.
So, and speaking of advice.
Yeah.
If you're talking to somebody who hasn't been blogging for 10 years about what they should do, one piece of advice that you would give somebody who wants to get into this, who thinks the idea of sitting here in a Viking River cruise ship. Hey, Johnny, we've just been talking about you.
Oh, boy. Hello.
We just told the whole story.
Speaking of Johnny Jett.
I'm not sure what that story is. Yeah.
We were just asking
about my contest.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody who is just getting started in the travel writing? But we had just told the story of the 2 Johnny Jett contests that Howard... entered.
Lost and won.
The one that lost him, that he lost, that he got this trip through eventually, and the one that he won because I gave it up.
That's awesome.
So, but before we get into my question, we have 2 new guests who have just arrived. Johnny, we introduced you, but do you want to say a little bit more about, if you want to lean in and say a little bit more about who you are?
My name is Johnny Jett. I have a website called johnnyjett.com. That's JohnnyJett1T. I'm not related to Joan. has travel news, tips, information, weekly, daily newsletter. So sign up. It's free. We also have contests once in a while, which you win.
I feel like you may have given this pitch sometime before. Now, Johnny, you were traveling with Natalie, your wife. I was going to say newlywed wife.
3 years.
3 years now? Good grief. I guess I've known you longer than I'm realizing. And but I noticed she did not take your name. She is not Natalie Jett.
Well, she does. She took my real name.
But, what?
Yes.
Johnny Jett is not your actual name.
No. I used to be known as Johnny Jetski because I used to jet ski a lot.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You were Johnny Jetski before you were Johnny Jett?
Oh, yeah. In the 80s, I was Johnny Jetski.
I did not know that.
And then when I started traveling a lot, and I was like, they're like, you need to come up with a name for your travel site. And I was like, well, I'm not Polish, so I'll just drop the ski.
Very good. And Johnny being one of the most successful travel phobe turned travel writer, travel podcast, travel blogger, travel site producer. I don't know what you call yourself, but
I call myself a travel joker. No, travel publisher.
Travel publisher. But you actually not only didn't start in journalism, didn't come to journalism like Michelle did, but you hated travel.
I was afraid to fly. Not only was I afraid to fly, I was afraid to leave the house.
I don't know that we've talked about that on This Week of Travel before.
Yeah, that might be a whole...
I think I believe it is hope for some people who, might be interested in... How did you get over that?
It's a long story, and I don't want to bore your listeners.
But too late.
I got over it. It's a really long story, but I, I went to school in California and just fell in love with travel. I was dating a girl.
I was going
to
say there was a girl involved, but...
There was a girl involved, and so I first got over my fear of flying, went to California to go to school. I grew up in Connecticut. And then I dated a girl whose parents lived all around the world. And she invited me to Singapore, and I was like, I can't go to Singapore. It's, you know, I don't know if I can breathe there. Because I had asthma. One of my big reasons was I had asthma.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so the reason why I was so afraid to fly, I actually knew, you know, a little bit when I was younger. But between 18 and 21, I would not get on a plane because I talked my mom into going on this incredible trip to Australia for spring break, my senior year of high school, and my sisters were living there at the time. We'd never traveled internationally, and so I talked my mom into this trip. She took me to the doctor for a checkup, and the doctor's like, you're going to Australia? You know, that's a 27-hour flight, and, you know, the planes are pressurized. You might have a hard time breathing. I'm like, what are you talking about? So anyway, she put the fear of God in me, get to the airport 2 days later, and have a full-on anxiety attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Flight attendants come out. Pilot comes out, says, you need to get on the plane. I'm like, I'm not getting on the plane. And my mom thought I was joking. And then when she saw me crying, she started crying. Then my dad started crying because he was dropping us off at the airport. He thought he had the house to himself for 2 weeks. And then, so anyway, that's where I became afraid to fly and not leave the house for three years. I mean, I would leave, but I wouldn't. I was very deathly afraid.
Wow.
And I got over it by getting off, you know, weaning my asthma medication. My mom brought me to all kinds of psychiatrists. They didn't work. And then they brought me to a homeopathic doctor, which back then was unheard of. And he's the one that's like, you're on way too much medication. That's what's giving you the anxiety.
Huh.
So I went to school in California after I got over the fear. But it's a long story. I just spared a little bit.
I appreciate you telling it, though. And also join us, Ramsey. Introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Ramsey Quibane. I'm a travel writer for various places, including USA Today, Afar, different magazines. Write a lot about aviation, loyalty programs, trying to visit every country in the world. Not 160 right now. And, yeah, that's me. I was not afraid to leave the house, but I recognize that's a very... it's a big fear for some people.
Well, and you tend to write a lot about flying.
I do, yeah.
Which is,
I actually love to fly.
Yeah, as we transition here. You are probably one of those people who has done a mileage run.
I have done many a mileage run.
You've got three this week.
Yeah, three. It's all around the cruise, exactly.
Ramsey is also the funniest person on the cruise. Just in case that doesn't come out of the interview, let's just give him that credit now and just admit it.
This guy knows more about miles than anybody and points.
Yes.
Seriously,
yes.
He's been to 160 countries out of 193. That's insane. This guy will do. He'll go to Asia twice in a week, and I'm not lying. And
then that's insane.
Yeah, but I must add,
flying, but I mean. I don't like flying. Like
it sounds torturous, but it's not so bad when you're upgraded and sitting in.
He has the highest elite status on all three alliances, Delta, United, and American for One World.
That's right.
And then not only that, but he was taking a class in Spain like a month ago, for 2 weeks, and on the weekends he would fly to Hawaii, and then make it back to class.
And the reason why I did that is because there was this great promotion where. I ended up, basically, the long story is I ended up with 300,000 miles after three of those also in business class trips. So,
and how many nights did you spend in Hawaii?
The first trip, zero. The second
did you
trip,
leave the airport?
One.
You didn't leave the airport?
I never left the airport. But once...
You didn't leave the airport.
I do have to say once there was a mistake.
So that was a mileage run.
On United, definitely a mileage
run. And for people who don't know, a mileage run is where you fly someplace for no particularly good reason except that you end up with a lot of miles.
That's right.
Not to see the place.
That's correct. But you can. You can, of course, build it in to see the place
that
you want. But one time I did four Hawaii, another year, four Hawaii trips back-to-back, starting on Sunday. I never left the airport until Saturday. I was, for 7 days, was going back and forth and back and forth, showering in great lounges and eating amazing food and sleeping on those really long flights to East Coast to Hawaii. So, got so much work done.
I think Michelle over here is going to have an aneurysm just thinking about being on a plane that much.
They should make a movie about the guy, honestly.
Yeah. Now, I know for most people that sounds crazy, but for an av geek, it's really kind of... It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's making me sad because I'm born and raised in Hawaii. So,
now, to be fair, we don't see a destination, but I've been to Hawaii. I've been fortunate to have been to Hawaii several times, and so Yeah, but
not
but then
not counting just the airport.
Not counting just the airport.
Ask him where he's going tomorrow.
Where are you going tomorrow?
I was waiting for you to ask me. No, tomorrow we're going to China and to Xi'an, China, and then to Tibet. So really excited about that.
Well, first time or
first time to Tibet? Yes.
Okay.
He's been to China how many times this year?
This year I've been 7 times. Because
so,
I did a trip to Hong Kong.
I'm curious. So some people who listen are travel bloggers. Some are wannabe travel bloggers. Some just got talked out of being travel bloggers, right? and thought that this was a glamorous lifestyle and just, you know, called their mother and said they were going back to dentistry school. But how many countries have people been to this year? New countries.
New countries? I try to go to 20 countries a year.
But that's not
this
new
year,
countries.
I think maybe two or three.
So 20 countries, but two or three new countries.
I try to go to new countries every year.
And Michelle, we'll go to you.
I'm doing something where it's kind of backwards. I'm not going to sommelier school to learn about wine. I'm going to the country. So that's why I'm on this wine
they
cruise.
Picked up the phone, they called mom again and said, yeah. Forget the dentistry school.
Yeah.
We're back on with the blogging.
So new countries, maybe three.
All wine countries?
Yes.
So
yes.
Portugal?
Yes. And then Greece.
Okay.
And then I'm going to Germany next month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm not sure what I'm doing after that. Probably back to Hawaii, where I will visit my family and get out of the airport.
I highly recommend that.
Yes.
Howard.
Is the question how many we've done so far?
Either way. Yeah. So far,
I think I've done 7
this
year.
New countries?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
There might be a couple repeats in there. I haven't tallied yet.
And then I'm going to say that this is all leading into, Ramsey, they give you time to count.
Yeah, well, it's become a lot harder now to
get a new country.
Yes. Because they're, you know, either have unfortunate political issues or
right.
It's very difficult to get a visa. But this year, I think it's 5. It's 2 so far and then 3 in a couple of weeks. I've been to Bangladesh and Papua New Guinea were 2 new countries.
And then how many countries?
160.
How long did it
take? Not this year.
No,
not this year.
Okay.
Oh, how many countries this year? I don't think I can even count.
40?
I don't know.
I'd guess around 40.
Maybe 40.
If we count.
How long did it take
to get 160? Being in the airports?
I got to about 140, you know, like racked them up. And then I've been stuck in this zone
right,
of 140
like,
to 160.
How many years?
For the past 2 or 3 years, it's been hard to get the additional countries. But later this month, I'm going to do Swaziland, Lesotho, and Angola. So those will be like...
You've been to South Africa already.
Been to South Africa, many times. So this is kind of a...
So you're doing the pocket countries.
Doing the little pocket countries now.
Inside of South Africa.
And then maybe East Timor, if I can swing it on one of my China trips to go all the way down.
How many miles have you flown in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, using the airline's million miler status thing, I mean, I think right now it would be maybe like 3.5 million. I don't know. But I really should have counted, you know, before college because we traveled a lot as a family before. So,
I would
love to know.
Before college, I had been to Canada.
Okay.
That counts as another country, right?
Yes.
No Canadians in the room. So.
Yes.
And really hadn't traveled until my kids were in middle elementary school age. So really most of my travel has been in the last 15 years.
But also I think there's an upside to that too because you really can appreciate things more now because your life is filled with experiences and now you can understand more about the places you're going.
I think so.
Although I think it's
but I also don't think
kids,
I don't think my goal is to go everywhere too. I've sort of come to the realization that where I am and the fact that I don't want to be nomadic, I'd like to get to 100 countries.
Yeah.
And how many are you at?
My goal was to do 5. I was at 50 and my goal was to do 5 a year. I think last year I got to 4, this year to 9 new countries.
I'm trying to get to 100
somewhere
countries with my wife.
Oh, cool.
And I think next week we'll have hit number 60 as a couple.
Very cool.
Oh, new goal. I like that.
As a couple, not as a married couple.
Right.
So you've been
very
together
nice.
For 5?
8 years.
8 years, oh, okay. All right. So, advice. If you were talking to somebody who wanted to follow in your footsteps, and let's take this specifically. So as a travel publisher, as an airline geek, as a travel blogger, as a food travel blogger, what was one piece of advice you would give them besides?
You gotta work. You gotta work hard. People think it's all fun. They see the pictures on Facebook, social media, and you know I'm smiling. They don't see they don't see me working 18 hours in my room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times I'm writing about a destination from 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't even get to really enjoy the destination that I'm in.
Yeah.
And I've missed some of these tours on this trip because I was writing.
Yeah. At least two of the days of the trip, you have stayed at the Estes ship.
Yeah. And walked around on my road.
Yeah.
Walked around.
what you need to do is you need to network. So you need to go to conferences. Mm-hmm. You need to make friends with, you know, different bloggers, PR people, and you need to work hard.
Mm-hmm. Ramsey.
And just to further your point, and also to be genuine, I think that the greatest thing about Johnny Jett is that he really is a nice guy, and he really is very...
He's not even using his real name. Genuine.
But, you know, I think we've all met people, you know...
I'm going to be calling him Johnny Jetski for now.
We've all met people that we kind of feel, or maybe they're just trying to use you to get to something else, or you just didn't feel like they really cared about knowing about you. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Johnny Jett does really well, is that he's so genuine and real, and people can tell, so I think it works.
Well, and I think that's been one of the things I've liked about this cruise is when you're on a press trip, you know, you're sort of put together seemingly at random to you when you show up, and this has been a nice group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as they say,
both those in the room and those who are not.
As they say, even when in these kind of contrived press trip situations, you know, there's always one person that kind of... Is the oddball or kind of causes problems, and the saying goes,
it's me.
If you can't pick out that person, it's you.
It's you.
So. I guess I'm the a-hole.
Well, I haven't been in the lounge till 2:30 at night partying. I don't know what that means. But
Who are you looking at? Who are you looking at?
Howard.
Well, first of all, I would say you need to love what you're doing. You need to love to travel. If you don't love to travel, then it's the wrong thing to do. If you don't love to write, it's the wrong thing for you to do.
Unless you're a podcaster.
Exactly.
You guys are doing all my work for me.
Right.
So that's another strategy.
Right. But if you love what you do, then it doesn't get too old. And, you know, secondly, about the networking, like I'm looking at both of you guys sitting there, and, I get Johnny's newsletter every day. I've won and lost two of his contests, and I've listened to This Week in Travel, and Amateur Traveler, and you know, and On Your Blogger Bridge, and so to be able to meet the people and network with people who you know online, but you know have never met in person, that was really gratifying on this trip.
Well, that's nice.
Fun.
Yeah, thank you. Can I add one more tip before Michelle jumps in? Because I know Michelle's going to be our grand
champ. Seems rude to me. Let's let Michelle get a chance first.
Okay.
Oh, no, please. It's all right. I'm used to him.
Okay, Michelle.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't really, I should have said something about aviation, but when you do travel, not everybody wants to do mileage runs, but when you are traveling as a travel writer or a blogger, try your best to kind of stick with one alliance, because when you spread all of your flying between multiple airlines, you know, you're not going to end up earning the elite status that will help you in the end, you know, so when you need to make changes to your reservations or are stuck in with a flight cancellation and need to make it to a trip or something. And it just amazes me how many people just accept whatever, you know, flights are given to them instead of saying, oh, do you mind, can you check to put me on American? And for the most part, you know, public relations people are great about, you know, honoring those requests if it's fair.
You know, if it's a country, for instance, they often have to use the country carrier.
That's right. That's right. There are instances where they partner with an airline. But when they're just outright buying a ticket, you know, kind of plan your strategy at the beginning of the year, because that will definitely help you.
I have gotten really bad at that. I will admit, I was better. When I worked at TripAdvisor, my boss was an ultimate flight geek. I don't know if I told the story on This Week of Travel before, but one time, so I used to be in charge of Seat Guru, which is a website for people who, you know, really fly a lot and want to know what seat they should have and which ones has leg room, which one doesn't recline, and all that kind of stuff. In fact, I'm working on it again now, but I used to be the director of engineering in charge of that. But my boss was the guy who is, you know, in charge of me, in charge of all the things that were going on, the business things. He walked in my office one time, saw my boarding pass, and said, What are you in 22F for? 22F doesn't have a window. So he looked at my boarding pass and knew from that flight number what equipment they were flying, and from that equipment what the configuration was.
So what's so weird about that?
Which, you know, I thought was just... But he was the one who, you know, was... when I went to work for him, he was like, okay, we need to give people a mileage makeover.
Yeah, mileage makeover, exactly.
Yeah, basically, we need to look at what you're doing for all your miles.
And, you sure it was 22F and not 10F?
It was... 10F. It was... No, it was 22F on this particular flight. But...
Yeah, and then it helps you go to places that you maybe are not working with someone. You use your miles and use your status.
So I just got on two. Would you say don't do a third one?
Well, if you can accumulate, I'm not saying just pick one to vote. But if you can accumulate enough to earn status with more than one alliance, then that's great. Mm-hmm. But the idea is you want to get to the top status level.
Right.
So that's what's really important.
The secret top status levels, they don't even...
Well, the secret ones, you know,
you can't get big money.
Yeah. Right. Those are based on how much you spend. So anyway, sorry to steal the floor from Michelle.
You were looking for time to think.
I'm used to Ramsey. This is the thing about when you're in a certain, I don't know, I don't want to say echelon, but in a certain world in the blogging community and the social media community, you tend to see the same people quite a bit, and it's a wonderful camaraderie that's developed if they truly are people that are open and honest and giving. My best advice would probably be do your homework. Learn how to speak. Learn how to write. Keep your promises. Nothing's going to...
Keep your promises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be brief. You have to learn how to write down to the bones, especially for some of the medium here. It's like express yourself in this many... You know, what's the average character in any blog post? Do you guys have a...
500 probably.
Yeah.
Words.
For an attention span.
Amateur right? Traveler, yeah. 7,000 words. Seriously, we transcribe them, so I count.
Wow. Well, in most mediums. So learn the medium. Yeah. And then be the pro.
And by the way, this would be longer. An hour, that's 40 minutes, is about 7,000 words.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just be professional. Yeah. It's not a play.
Okay, so playing off of what you're saying. So we did dinner last night with Ian, who is the representative from Edelman, who invited us all here, was talking about the opposite of that. The he had one story on a cruise that you were on, Johnny, about the one blogger who, it wasn't even the blogger, but it was the blogger's wife, and he didn't rat out who this was.
I know who that was.
We don't need to name names here. But started yelling at him.
It was a Canadian.
During the opening dinner, that because they hadn't been greeted with champagne and by the captain as they got on the boat, and when Michelle talks about being professional, do you have any examples of behavior that you wouldn't suggest that you have observed in travel writers, traditional travel writers, travel bloggers, or
well, that same woman. First,
yes, now it's a woman.
We're at this table, and Ian was there, and my dad was sitting next to her. My dad's 86 years old, very hard of hearing. He had a cochlear implant.
Oh, interesting.
Which, because he was stone deaf.
Yeah.
And then when he got the cochlear implant, which cost about $100,000, thanks
to
him.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, but once he got that, he could hear. So anyway, but he still can't hear great. And during dinner, she's like, you should tell your father to get some new hearing aids because it's really annoying that I have to keep repeating myself.
There's no way.
And I thought I was hearing something. I was like, she didn't just say that because I was across the table because otherwise, I would throw over the look.
She should turn down her volume.
But someone else heard her, and I was like, did she really say that? Like, yes, she did.
Ooh.
So, I mean, first of all...
That was the closest he said he'd never come to throwing somebody off.
Be a nice person.
Yes.
So what happened to the golden rule?
Some of this shouldn't be.
And I tell people that all the time, you know, for traveling, you know, always be genuinely nice.
Yeah. And you're not just talking about to the PR person.
No, forget that. Yeah. I'm talking about the gate agents. I'm talking about the reservation agents, the flight attendants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, I used to always bring three boxes of chocolates. One for the gate agents, one for the flight attendants, and one for myself.
Mary Jo keeps telling me that I should bring chocolates and it, not just to try and get something out of it, just because it's a nice thing to do.
Of course, my ex-girlfriend was a flight attendant, and so I learned how hard these guys work.
Yeah.
So now I bring them Go-Go passes. Go-Go's one of my sponsors, so they so they give me passes. I go out and get on the board, and I give them. They love.
I'm gonna start being nice to
chocolates.
Yeah, that's right.
But all you do is be nice and smile. Yeah. That's the number one.
That's true.
I remember being in an airport when the flight was delayed or canceled because there were massive thunderstorms across the across the East Coast. I mean, you know, hundreds of flights canceled. It was one of those days. We've all, if you've traveled, you've had those days.
Yeah.
And I went up, you know, waited in line, went up to the person who was the gate agent and said, you know, what's going on? And she said, well, our flight is canceled or delayed. I don't remember which it was. And it's like, okay, you know, good to know. Do you know the ETA? I mean, I was calm. There wasn't anything she could do about it. I didn't think she was Thor, the god of weather. And so she said, thank you so much for just being understanding. It's like, well, why would I yell at you about this? She said, oh, everybody has.
It's incredible. I actually went undercover for a day and worked as a gate agent.
Did you really?
For Delta, and I wore the uniform, and I had to learn very quickly all the keystrokes. It's a very complicated system.
It seems like a really bad user interface, as far as I can tell.
Oh, it's awful.
The old one, especially. I mean, as far as I can tell, they were typing. You know, you would say, do you want window or aisle? And they would say, you'd say window, and they'd say click, 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 click.
That's what they're
doing.
It's like,
are you finishing a letter to your mother, or is it the person who is standing in front of me would like a window seat? I mean, what? How bad is that interface?
It's McDonald's.
I just found
my notes when I was cleaning out my office the other day, and it's literally like exclamation mark, tilde, 4, 7, asterisk, hashtag, or whatever that symbol is.
Old mainframe systems.
It's old systems, yeah. So, but the way people treat you as a gate agent, it changes during the day. In the morning, people are a little bit nicer, but then as it gets later in the day, they become more angry and hostile because, you know, they've probably had delays and they've had issues going through.
Yes.
But I mean, I had people when I was, you know, just scanning boarding passes, people would just, they wouldn't even look at you, or they would give you their boarding pass with their teeth because they're holding a cup of coffee and they're, I mean, there's just, and then you have some people that are very nice, and then you have some people that are just completely rude, and it's like, you should not leave the house. You should be the one that doesn't leave your house.
So the best, the nicest person you saw during that day, and the rudest person you saw.
It wasn't until the end of the day when I had somebody pointing their finger at me and saying, "I will never fly this airline again," because they had misconnected. We had just closed the door, and we have a clock that's ticking down.
I have done that. I've been that guy.
And so this person comes up and says, "I wasn't pointing my finger."
Yeah.
And I said, "No, we booked you on the next flight. It's in an hour and a half." And of course, they think that's just not possible for them to get home an hour and a half later. Even though,
it is frustrating because the door just closed and the plane is still there.
Is still there, but we've already printed out all the paperwork and given it to the pilots.
Exactly.
So at this point, we'd have to start undoing everything and then redoing it to get you back on the flight. And hey, we've already given your seat away. You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
So was it a business passenger or
a
leisure
couple?
Or worse?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I think it's pretty much an even keel. You know, we had all those people that, what we like to call gate lice, you know, as a popular term on the internet.
You have to explain.
Gate lice is when...
I may be one, but you have to explain.
They all crowd around so they can be the first person to board and make a giant blockade for the rest of the terminals and nobody can walk through, but... so I say a lot of the business travelers do that. They want to be the first on the carpet.
Often because they're trying to get the overhead space.
Exactly. They are, but the thing is, they're not going to be the ones to board first. You know, when you look at their boarding pass, you're like, ma'am, you're in zone 3, so now you're making boarding take a lot longer because people's got to go through you. But what else happened? I had a plane come in where I think I worked 11 flights that day from 5 in the morning to 7 p.m.
Why did Delta ever agree to this?
Great. And I got to do it. And I got so many positive letters from gate agents because I really told the truth and that they have honestly one of the hardest jobs because I don't think I took a break to use the bathroom or eat the whole day. I mean, as soon as a plane... Delta calls Atlanta Terminal B Little Beirut because that terminal can take almost every aircraft type that passes through Atlanta Airport. Not the wide bodies, but...
Okay.
So whenever there's no space at another gate, they send them to B. So that's where we were at the high end of the B gates, and we were working constantly. The plane would pull out, and another one would come right in. I had other flight attendants yelling at me. They said, you know, we gotta go, or there's not enough bag space. And I had to tag bags at the door, you know, grab bags.
Really? You...
Yeah, they're yelling at the gate agents because they want to get the flight out on time too.
Right.
Did you have a secret name badge? What was your name badge?
I didn't have a name badge.
Oh.
I didn't have a name badge, but I had a couple of people say, "Oh, you're so nice. I'd like to write into the airline about you." And I was like, "Oh, well, don't worry about it." And there was one delay where the flight attendant asked me a question and I couldn't answer the question. I said, "Well, honestly, I'll have to tell you, I'm kind of just going undercover today to learn about what they do. And they just thought that was the coolest thing. And the flight was delayed, so I just hung out with them in the galley and talked for a little bit because we were just waiting for a mechanic to come. But
and where did you write this story?
Well, I actually wrote it for Airfare Watchdog, and yeah, and then that kind of got syndicated out to other places.
Another TripAdvisor company, as long as we're plugging Mike.
Exactly. So
former employer.
That did. I got so many emails, people saying, "Whenever you're in Dayton Airport, I'll buy you a beer." You know, it's so funny how it kind of made the rounds. Yeah, for the gate agents. So someone once told me, "Oh, we had that up in our break room." That story. So yeah, that was fun. But they have a tough job, so like Johnny Jett said, be nice.
And going to Howard and Michelle, any examples of the behavior we should not be doing? I guess I should have asked this at the beginning of the press trip. It's really bad for me to get advice now, after I may have broken all these rules. But any other advice of bloggers or writers you have seen behaving badly? I think of Angie, who is a travel blogger, former PR person, who told me about the 7 travel writers, not even bloggers, literally getting into fisticuffs over the 7 bottles of rum that they were given. She said not particularly good rum from the Bahama Tourism Board, and one of them started putting all 7 in her bag, I think it was, because she had promised them to other people. It's like, at what point can't you figure out that the 7 models are meant for the 7 riders?
Well, I heard from another public relations friend about a cruise that she had put on, and it was where the minibar gets refilled every night. But it's not a standard minibar, it was a luxury cruise, and so it was like full bottles of things. And riders were taking all these bottles and putting it in their suitcase so it would be replenished the next day.
Oh my gosh.
And by the 4th or 5th day, the crew on the ship was, you know, quietly told her, by the way, these rooms are consuming, you know, 4 or 5 bottles of liquor every day. What's happening? And she filled them in on probably they're putting it in their suitcase. They had to put the kind of damper on that. And
I've heard all kinds of stories where travel writers are stealing. I've heard once, you know, cutting out a piece of the carpet under the bed because the carpet was so nice. To take it home. They would take, I've heard TVs, lamps, artwork. Oh, of course, artwork. It's amazing the stuff you hear. And I've seen, actually, one guy, one time I was on a Rail Europe press trip, and they said, you have to pack light because we're taking a lot of trains throughout Europe.
Yeah.
This one guy literally shows up with the biggest suitcase I've ever seen. And I was like, dude, we're flying Ryanair on the last day. You realize you're going to get charged up the Yazoo.
Right.
Wazoo. And anyway, we were taking the subways to the train station. He had to take a taxi to the train station because he couldn't get the bag on the subway. But anyway, the last day we're on the plane, the PR person said goodbye to us, dropped us off at the airport. We're in line. And he said he already gave away a lot of his clothes so he wouldn't get charged. Anyway, the gate agent's like, or the check-in clerk was like, you know, you owe $100 or 100 euros.
Uh-huh.
He snapped. Literally snapped. Next thing I know, I see his bag, takes the bag, throws it at the agent right over her head. And I was like, oh, wait, this guy's going to get arrested.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how he did not get arrested.
Yeah.
And then it was really bad. But I've also heard about journalists getting kicked off trips.
Well, I think something deserved to be. Yeah.
I would kick them off.
That's embarrassing to the profession. It should be a profession.
Yeah.
You have to continue to act like that.
For sure.
And word gets around, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Every PR group has a list. Uh-huh. Yeah.
A naughty
and they
list.
Call it, you, when you're really bad, they call their friends. And warn them, too.
Yes.
Because you just don't want that person. Mm-hmm. They're people who are toxic. So.
Right.
Now that we have the combined wisdom of the group here, for travelers, advice for travelers, one tip you would give to travelers based on what you have learned in your travels?
Well, on this cruise, if you're cruising, you should always use a hand sanitizer because there's always people sick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're coughing on their hand, then they're going to the cafe.
The rail, the
cafe, you know, the tongs, and then they're eating the bread, putting it in their mouth. So, you know, clean your hands as often as possible because, you know, on ships like this, it does spread.
Mm-hmm. Says the one whose wife got sick on the trip.
But thank God I'm not.
I got to stick with the aviation theme, and this is something that I always tell people, that you have to kind of manage your travel reservations regularly. So let's say this ticket was booked 5 months ago.
Yep.
at 3 months out or maybe 1 month out, take a look. Make sure that, you know, the seat that you thought you had requested is saved in there, because now you're going to end up with a middle seat, or that there wasn't an equipment change, or that the flight times didn't change, and now you're going to miss it.
Do you manage those in any particular fashion?
I mean, it takes me 1 minute.
But I mean, do you have a spreadsheet? Do you use TripIt?
No, not really. I mean, I use my airline apps. Expert Flyer is great, because if I'm trying to get an upgrade, or I can look at the loads of the flight. So that's really important to kind of, you know, oh, I thought I had applied that upgrade certificate. It didn't stick in there. What happened? You know, so
I
keep an eye on your
reservations. I also keep my boarding passes for later on, making sure I got the miles.
Right.
So when I get home, I still have a stack that I need to go through.
Manage your reservations when it's over.
You don't always get them.
You don't? That's right.
It's always surprising.
I always
check them, yeah.
Every couple days.
Yeah.
So to add weight to what you're saying, so I usually keep mine in TripIt.
Okay.
Because it's very easy to do. You just mail the confirmation to plans@tripit.com, and my wife has access to my account, so she knows where I am and knows what time to pick me up and all those things. Very easy. The one reservation that I didn't do that over the last year, I didn't send the update of the times of this flight change, happened to be the flight I was flying to my daughter's wedding with my elderly parents.
No.
After 2 days after my mother had already called and said she couldn't do the flight because she was too anxious, and then we talked her into the flight, and I get to the airport and discover we have missed the flight because I was there for the original time and not for the new flight time.
Oh, no.
And I am normally a very calm person and a very calm flyer, and I was extra frazzled because I just thought my mother was going to lose it, and she was very calm. It's like, what's our flight? So when are we going? It's like, we don't have a flight, Mom.
Well, another thing is, if your reservation has four or five airlines in it, or one or two airlines in it,
right,
always ask for the record locator of
all the
airlines. Yeah. So let's say you're traveling on United and Lufthansa. Lufthansa's record locator may be
different
than the United one.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't be able to check in on their website for your flight.
Right.
Well, the United one.
One of the things I like about the TripIt is it does print both of them.
That's great. I didn't know that. That's great. Yeah.
But, and by the way, I was flying United, and United just took care of us and didn't make a fuss, just put us on the next flight, and we happened to be fortunately flying on some. We were flying a couple days early, so we were going to make the wedding anyway.
Oh, good.
And they also, you know, had a flight like an hour later or something like that. But it was, you know, momentary panic because it was a flight we had booked months and months ahead. And if you book a flight 6 months ahead, you are almost guaranteed that the flight time will change.
Yeah,
a year ahead, you could pretty much count on it. But even 6 months ahead, flight times change. So, Howard, traveling tip?
Yeah, I don't think mine's going to be that in depth.
You haven't been doing this as long, so
I need to take notes. What he said was, my advice is get out of the rut, because I cannot tell you how many people I know go to the same place for 15 years, and I go and say, you do know there's other places in the world, right? I mean, they go to Disney every year, or they go to the same place at the beach every year. And that's what we're all doing, is writing about all these wonderful places. So get out there and read some of our work and go somewhere new.
That's a good tip.
We have a good friend from college that every year their Christmas... I don't think he listens to the show. Because every year their Christmas card is a picture of his girls in front of the same little jockey statue at the beach house, the same beach house they run every year at the Jersey Shore, I think.
Wow.
And that's
nice.
So that for some people. I know my college roommate, freshman year college roommate, or sophomore year, his dad would only sleep in his own bed. Some people just don't want to travel.
I think one of my buddy's friends, his father would not eat anything but Italian food. He came out to L.A. to visit one time, and I was like, let's get some Mexican food. He'd never had Mexican food. He was 60 years old.
Mm.
So I took him to a Mexican restaurant, and he ordered steak.
That's funny.
That hurts.
But again, if you're not interested in traveling somewhere new, or if a place is too exotic or maybe makes you not feel so comfortable, you can always go online and read other people's blogs from visiting there. So that's always a armchair traveler.
My advice would probably be not to pack your itinerary so full. Just go to a place and be.
Mm.
That's it. Grab a book, sit in a cafe.
Someday I'll do that.
I would assume to say we're all type A travelers, where we have to produce product or at least experience a lot of things for other people. But to just have the luxury of just going and being, that's a true experiential travel that people need to learn how to get with.
This cruise, I think one of the things I like about it, it does have a fair amount of downtime. Even as a press trip, but as for the traveler who's just booking the cruise too as well.
That's what I love about these river cruises, that you can relax, you can do what, you know, do as much as you can.
Yeah.
It's not for people who are into action and adventure. It's just if you really want a relaxing holiday, or even while you're working. Like I take my dad on these cruises, and I put him out on the buses in the morning, and then I stay back and work.
Oh, that's great.
Interesting.
And that's usually when the internet's the best too.
When everybody else is off the ship. Yes. Well, there has been a set of desperate people looking for internet who may or may not be travel bloggers on this.
Although this ship has had the best Wi-Fi out of any river cruise I've ever been.
It is very fast.
Yeah. Well, but it was better in some parts of the valley than others. Some parts
for sure.
And
I love their little map that you turned me.
I love the fact that they had a map that told you. It's like, so you can look at the map and say, we're not going to have good connection tomorrow. I guess
really
I'm going to
get on the bus, right?
I didn't know about this because he said you have to watch the safety video to turn on the TV. So I said, forget it.
You're not safe. Oh Lord.
Let it play. Get in the shower.
You better just hope here in the next 2 hours we don't hit something.
That's right.
We're not coming back.
Turn on the TV in a hotel.
Don't you watch the airline safety videos?
I do. I love the airline safety videos. So I watch them on YouTube.
Favorite airline safety video? I do Virgin Air.
Well, you know, there's so many good ones now. I actually did like the United one. But there's one that people haven't seen very much of, and it's Condors. Condors are really cool safety video. There's Paris Hilton in there. You know, they have all these impersonators. Paris Hilton, Queen of England, Elvis Presley. Yeah, it's really
Condor. That's
cool. Neil Armstrong is even part. So they made this kind of a.
Yeah,
I do appreciate when they put a little creativity there, so that I actually do watch it.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's definitely a new trend.
One tip that I would give that I've learned from this trip, and I learned from my son-in-law, because he was in charge of the navigation for the week that we did ahead of this trip. My family was in Bosnia, Croatia, and Vienna, and we were driving in Croatia. We drove from Dubrovnik up to Zagreb, and I was driving, so I was not navigating, and so we told my son-in-law that he was in charge of navigating because he had done it so well when we were in Ireland. And he turned me on to maps.me, which has offline maps. And so I downloaded the offline maps to Portugal, for instance. So when we were in the town today and we were trying to figure out how to get to the castle up on the hill, I have maps for the entire country of Portugal, and I could ask directions completely offline.
Great.
I'm in airplane mode the whole trip.
Okay.
I'm not using a data plan. I don't have my phone is still on contract and can't get roaming right now, so. But I have maps.
That's a great tip.
Maps.me?
Maps.me.
Yeah.
The one thing, the only thing that caught me is I was telling somebody as we hit Salamanca that, you know, don't worry, I've got maps. I downloaded all the maps for all of Portugal.
Oh, right.
I did not realize. I had not looked at the itinerary to know that we were going to be in Salamanca, Spain. And so I walked.
So that was the day you just sat in a cafe and you just were.
I had a good sense of direction anyway, and they had given us a map. But my map had just flown away. I think that's why it came up. I said, don't worry about it. I downloaded all the maps of Portugal. Walked 100 feet down the street and went,
España.
I am not in Portugal, but I had been paying attention. We're going to be wrapping this up now. So one more time, tell us where people can find you on the interwebs. Michelle, we'll start with you. Ladies first.
I'm at culinarytraveler.com.
And the best story you've written on Culinary Traveler recently?
It's about wine.
I am not surprised.
All the good stories are.
Does it involve Ramsay and anything that has happened on the show?
Oh, no. I generally keep the names out to protect those.
Okay. We appreciate
for our sake.
Was it a particular wine region or wine story?
It's very recent, and it was this brand new wine region, new to me. It was only an AVA. It became an AVA in the 1980s.
An AVA?
Yes, American Viticulture Area.
meaning an area that is designated.
Designated, yes. And you have to have, if you're in that area, you can use that AVA because all the grapes came from there and the wine was made there.
You can use that particular label on your wine.
Absolutely.
Because it implies a certain criterion.
That's right.
Such as we have seen in Porto,
yes,
they have the same
yes
thing, although not
yes
not American viticulture.
This one was about the Santa Lucia Highlands. So go and read it. It's really interesting. The wines are beautiful.
I don't even know what country we're in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that. Monterey County, California.
Oh, if only I hadn't grown up in Monterey, California and wouldn't have recognized. Really, I've never heard of that region.
See, we haven't.
And
that's why I'm excited about it.
I worked for a week at a winery in Monterey.
Oh, my gosh.
Making the big wooden wine tanks we've seen?
Uh-huh.
I worked for a week making 20,000-gallon wooden wine tanks.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Wow.
Really, really, really hard work. It makes you appreciate mm-hmm going to college. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Howard, where can people find you online, and the best story you've written recently?
I'm at backroadplanet.com, and the best story, I guess, is the one that's most heartfelt. Is called Corrie Ten Boom, Searching the World, and she is a lady I met through her book, The Hiding Place. She was a Holocaust rescuer, a Dutch watchmaker's daughter.
As well as victim.
Right, and she... because of what
because
she did
of,
to rescue. But it's just how I've encountered her. I first read her book when I was living in Latin America as a teenager in Paraguay. And then later I found her tree in Jerusalem at Yad Vashem, where she's righteous among the nations.
Okay.
And then earlier this summer, no, actually it was last year. It was right before the eye went out. We went to the hiding place, the Baye in Harlem,
mm-hmm,
just
right
outside of Amsterdam,
Amsterdam.
Just a 15-minute train ride, and it's not a post that's gotten the most traffic, but it's gotten a lot of comments because people relate to it. You know, I have people say, "Oh, that made me cry," and I'm going, "I wasn't trying to make anybody cry, but it's more of a heartfelt story."
Excellent. Have you made anyone cry recently, Ramsey?
Not that I know of, but I'm sure I have.
He's too busy being nice.
This is a new goal for you.
At the gate.
Yeah.
Where can people find you online one more time? Yeah, best story.
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram under Daily Travel Tips, or you can find the selection of my stories on my website, ramseyq.com, ramseyq.com. And I just did a story for USA Today Travel, roadwarriorvoices.com, on 9 safety videos that you probably have not seen. 9 cool, fun safety
videos. Including Condor.
I mean, we all know about United and Delta and Air New Zealand, but these are safety videos that are funny, but they don't get talked about. So
excellent.
That was fun.
Excellent. And Johnny, do you have a website?
I do. It's called johnnyjet.com, JohnnyJet. You can find me at all the social media handles. My most popular story of all time was wrote about a fallen soldier on my flight, on a Delta Airlines flight from Atlanta to LA. Got picked up by every single news network. It was unbelievable. I had Ellen calling. I had Nightly News, and the video had over 2 million views in 2 days.
Wow!
But and that definitely made people cry. And when I wrote it, I went home. It was such a moving experience. I was sick, and I just wrote it, and I was crying while I wrote it. And, and it was
pretty teary right now. I can feel that.
Yeah. And you can read or listen to me on amateurtraveler.com, Chris Christensen, and we will get together with Gary and Jen. I believe Gary and I will be doing a This Week in Travel next week.
Yeah.
Good grief. From Thailand, from TBEX, Thailand, TBEX Asia. And then 2 weeks later, Gary and Jen and I will probably do another one from TBEX North America. So we'll get the gang back together at that time. My apologies on behalf of GarageBand that failed me yesterday to Mary Jo and Mary, who you heard some of, and then also to Rick from Midlife Road Trip, who didn't make it back to the retaping. So he was brilliant yesterday. Back me up on this, Howard. So as were the other three, but it was a good show with an audience apparently of 4. So with that, go out there and travel and be nice to people as you do.
Mm-hmm.